Hillary Rodham Clinton's memoir, Living History, appeared in bookstores today. Publisher Simon & Schuster paid Senator Clinton $8 million and ordered a first printing of 1 million copies, most of which were kept under very close watch until today. Commentator Jake Tapper took a quick look at one of them.
I got my copy of the 562-page book around 9 o'clock this morning. So you'll forgive me if my Evelyn Wood speed reading means I missed some of the deeper subtexts. But the book embargo has been strict. Last week, after the Associated Press got their hands on a copy and reprinted some of the juiciest bits, Simon & Schuster considered suing them. It's not really a legit Clinton event without a leak and a lawsuit. Okay, so my first stop in the book, the index. Osama bin Laden gets 5 mentions, 2 fewer than those of Hillary's book agent, Bob Barnett. But the real action was in the L's. That woman, Miss Monica Lewinsky. Pages 440 to 446, 449, etc., etc. But you'll have to get past 439 pages before you get to Monica. This includes Senator Clinton's, quote, weak and self-indulgent grandmother Della, her depressed uncle Russell, her stern father throwing the unscrewed top to the toothpaste tube out the window and making the children hunt for it, even in the dead of winter. These are interesting details, some offering genuine insight into the former First Lady's determination and toughness. There are glimpses of a humble side of the political Hillary Clinton that you don't often see. After the Republicans took the House and Senate for the first time since the Eisenhower years in 1994, she confesses this, quote, I wondered how much I was to blame for the debacle, whether we had lost the election over health care, whether I had gambled on the country's acceptance of my active role and lost. But along with the new information, too often comes a big empty space of withheld information. In one small example, Clinton's mom, upon hearing of a neighborhood bully picking on then 4-year-old Hillary, sends Hillary out with the instructions, if Susie hits you, you have my permission to hit her back. Shoulders squared, Hillary goes across the street. Then she returns to announce that she and Susie are friends. But what happened across the street? It's a big blank, and it's just the first of many we see, most of them having to do with far more substantial issues. Later in the book, for instance, referring to the Lewinsky imbroglio, she writes, quote, I believe what my husband did was morally wrong. So was lying to me and misleading the American people about it. The clear implication is that Hillary was the only one lied to, while the rest of us, voters, his cabinet, the grand jury, were misled, which would not necessarily constitute perjury. It's a big difference. And though I'm not surprised that she would be so selective in her verbiage, I'm still not clear how her husband's testimony didn't constitute perjury. Likewise, we don't hear anything about what one former Clinton aide once referred to as bimbo eruptions. Juanita Broderick, Dolly Kyle Browning, Kathleen Willey. In her brief mention of the Jennifer Flowers matter, Hillary Clinton curtly reports that, quote, he told me it wasn't true. Right. But what did you think, Hillary? And what was the actual truth? These holes aren't just in the more prurient sections, they're there in recountings of the healthcare debacle and other serious matters. It's still the book of a politician whose career is at its beginning, not its big revelatory end. It's a sort of studied, selective candor. Living History deserves a closer read than I was able to give it, of course, because she put so much care and effort both into what she wrote and what she left out. And because, like it or not, and based on the generally cautious tone of the book, Senator Clinton hopes to be a force in American politics for a long, long time.
Jake Tapper writes for Salon.com.